Father, I pray that you take these words that I am about to present to your people, and I pray that they would go beyond their ears and heads, but would go to their hearts, and that they would hear your Spirit, and that it would encourage them. I pray for your Spirit to move, and I ask that you give me the ability to clearly communicate your message today, and I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today I'd like to turn our attention to Luke's gospel. Normally we would jump right into Luke chapter 2 around this time of year anyway. And as you know, it starts with, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." And then it goes on to tell the familiar story about the birth of Jesus. But I don't know if you realize this or not, but there is a Luke chapter 1. Normally, I skip right over Luke chapter 1 to get to the good stuff in chapter 2. And it's very rare that I ever open to Luke chapter 1, but we're not going to do that this morning. We're gonna do chapter 1 this morning. Luke starts his account by telling us the story about a priest named Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And both of them, the Bible says, were righteous and blameless, yet they had no children. And because of their being very old, they were unable to conceive. And Luke tells about a time when an angel named Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and informed him that his wife, even though she was well past the age of being able to give birth, or to be able to be pregnant actually, that she would conceive and give birth to a son. And the angel told them that they were to name that boy John. Now, Zechariah's response to this great news is a little bit odd, because normally when an angel appears and tells you something, you don't question it, you just believe it. At least that's what I do. And in this case, for whatever reason, Zechariah did not believe the angel Gabriel's words. And because of his lack of faith, Zechariah lost his ability to speak, and he was made silent. And after this encounter with the angel, Zechariah returned home and did what married couples do when they're apart for a while. And soon his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant, just like Gabriel said. Later on in the story, we find out that shortly after Elizabeth's baby was born, Zechariah's ability to speak returned. And the first words out of Zechariah's mouth were praises to God. And they did. They named him John. And he would become to be known to the rest of us as John the Baptist, whose life was greatly intertwined with the story of Jesus. But what does all this have to do with Christmas? Well, two-thirds of the way through Elizabeth's miraculous pregnancy, the author Luke introduces us to the beginning of another story with an even more miraculous conception. And so, if you have your Bible, I'd encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 26. Luke says this: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" Let's stop there for a moment. So Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. And in that culture, being pledged to be married to someone was very similar to what we have in our culture as far as engagement. But it was much more binding. Being pledged to someone was nearly the same level of commitment as it is as being married. But they didn't live together, and they didn't consummate the marriage until after the wedding. The angel Gabriel is mentioned here, and he appears by name in the entire Bible three times. The first time he appeared was to a prophet named Daniel in Babylon. And then 500 years later, he appears to Zechariah in Jerusalem, which I've just told you about, which is Elizabeth's husband. And then the third and final appearance of Gabriel is at least 6 months later to this Mary in Nazareth, who was pledged to be married to Joseph. Gabriel appeared unexpectedly to Mary with a greeting from the Lord, and the words of the greeting were incredible, almost as if they were too good to be true. He said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary's response is interesting. Pick it up in verse 29. Verse 29 says this: "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" The angel immediately calms Mary's fears by reminding her of God's grace to her. And then Gabriel lays out some particulars about the unique plan that God had for Mary. He informs her about the gender, the name, the status, and the destiny of the son that she will bear. Gabriel's words are actually echoes of the prophets of Israel, that what they had been saying for hundreds of years as they waited for this Messiah to come. These were actually prophecies that Mary would have been told as a child. Prophecies she would have easily recognized. And now, out of nowhere, this angel appears and delivers this amazing news to her. And if you took some time, and I would encourage you to do so this week, to read all of Luke chapter 1, you'll find that months earlier, Gabriel delivered a very similar announcement to Zechariah about the upcoming birth of his son John. But I want you to take note of Zechariah's response. In Luke 1:18, Zechariah responds to the angel that's standing before him by saying this: "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." Now, as you read that, notice that his response is filled with doubt. His reply is basically saying, "How can I trust that what you're saying is really true? Prove it to me." As I look at this, you would think that having an angel tell you something would be pretty convincing. But I guess it wasn't for Zechariah. He didn't believe the angel's words, and Zechariah became mute. Zechariah's response to the angel is met as a lack of faith. So what do you suppose Mary's response will be to Gabriel's announcement to her? Mary's response is, it's a question, but it's a little bit different. She says, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Even though it was still a question, Mary's reply is different, because her response is not asking whether or not it's actually true. Mary's response is asking and showing that she believed, but she simply wanted to clarify how the process was going to happen. Mary was asking in faith and agreeing that she would conceive, but she just wasn't sure how, because after all, she was still a virgin and she hadn't consummated the marriage with Joseph yet. And because of her faith, Gabriel graciously answers her question, and he reveals details about the mystery of the incarnation. The angel answered in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And so Gabriel reveals what has been foretold by Isaiah the prophet 700 years earlier, confirming that this miraculous conception would take place in a virgin through the power of the Holy Spirit. And to further prove the reality of God's plan and power, Gabriel gives insight into the fact that Mary's relative, Elizabeth, was also experiencing a miracle of conception despite her old age. Elizabeth's pregnancy was through traditional means. Mary's pregnancy would have been unlike any other that had ever taken place before or would ever occur again. She would become pregnant without Joseph's involvement. Now, Mary's response to all of this that the angel tells her is pretty stunning. Look at what Mary says in verse 38 through her heart of faith. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Mary doesn't ask any more questions. She doesn't ask for a few days to consider her options. She doesn't even ask him to repeat anything. She just says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." That kind of faith for a girl that young is really pretty amazing. She didn't require any physical proof that before she was willing to take the leap and agree to God's plan. She didn't respond with pride that she had the privilege now of bearing the Messiah. Mary simply fell in line, taking her place as a humble servant, a female slave, a bondservant of Almighty God. Mary responded with faith, surrendering her will to the will of the Most High, yielding her whole self to the word of the Lord. And then the angel left, and Mary's world was turned upside down. So what would she do next? Well, in the next portion of the account, Luke weaves the two stories of Luke chapter 1 together. So in verse 39, it reads this way. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And so in Elizabeth's statements there, she reminds us about what it is that made Mary special. Mary was special because of her faith in God and because of her belief that God would fulfill what he had actually promised. Mary wasn't sinless. She was a human. And it was only by the grace of God that she would have such a special place in the history of humanity. It wasn't that Mary was significant. It was the way that God was going to use her that was significant. Now, Elizabeth's words about Mary in verse 45... they really stand out to me because it ties us back to Mary's words of faith that are expressed in verse 38. Elizabeth said, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Why was Mary blessed? Because she believed. How do we know that she believed? Well, look at verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Now, we would do well to follow Mary's example. She saw herself and her purpose as being the Lord's servant. She placed the Lord's word above her own. And she surrendered her own will that she might fulfill his will in her. What would happen if we were to begin uttering Mary's words as we awoke each day? Or what would happen is every time we came to the scriptures, we would utter Mary's phrase, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." What if that phrase became a regular part of our prayer life? What if our consistent cry was, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled"? Would your perspective on trials and hardships change as you voiced a willingness to deny yourself and daily take up your cross to follow Jesus? What would happen if we told our flesh to be silent and allow the Spirit to speak through us? What would happen if we would take God at His word and truly believe that no word from God will ever fail? Incorporating this phrase into your daily walk with Christ is a reminder of the role you have in the relationship. When you understand that you are not in charge of your life, that you are not the one calling the shots, then it frees us up to really see that we are serving the Lord, and that's a privilege. It's not a duty. And when we humbly kneel before His throne and our hearts respond, they're going to respond with praise. And you'll find that your soul will rejoice. And that's exactly what happened to Mary. Her response of faith is captured in a song of praise to the Lord. Luke records the words of Mary, and we've come to know it as the Song of Mary or the Magnificat. And that word is just Latin for "my soul magnifies the Lord." And so I'd like to read it, and as I do, listen to the depth of understanding that this young country girl, Mary, that she conveys of her Savior and Lord in this song. And notice the perspective that she expresses of God's power, His grace, and His mercy. And notice how many times that Mary says, "He has, He has." She's always pointing back to God. Mary says this, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." Luke goes on to tell us that Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she returned home to be with Joseph. And we don't hear anything else about Mary's pregnancy until Luke chapter 2, which provides the rest of the story of the birth of Jesus. Mary is an amazing example of a life of faith. She trusted in the promises of God so that God's will could be accomplished through her. So if your heart is heavy or your heart is rejoicing, may you be encouraged greatly by Mary's story, by her life of faith. May you be inspired to believe and live a life that trusts in the Word of God, because it never fails. Your life, whether you know it or not, is an example to the people around you, to the people in your circle. And your life either demonstrates doubt of God's word or faith in God's word. Our actions and our reactions are constantly telling a story. They're constantly singing a song. And for everyone who's listening to the song of our life, remember that your life can impact others just the way Mary's has impacted us by her example. And so I would challenge you to live each day humbly, yet confidently declaring, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Because we know that blessed is the one, or blessed is she, who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her or to us. And I would challenge you that as you serve the Lord, may you humbly yet continually declare, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.